content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Shadate Hargett Hill from the North Carolina Reading Service, previously known as the Triangle Radio Reading Service. For the next half hour, I'll be reading to you from Sports Illustrated for Kids. Last week, we did a little bit of mystery athletes, and I gave you one clue, and I don't think I gave you enough of the clue. So let's do it again. I'm going to give you three clues, and then I'm going to read another story and come back and see if you know the answer. Clue number one. Through week 7 of the 2019 NFL season, the mystery athlete was 6th on the league's all-time passing yards list. Clue number 2. Leading up to the season, the mystery athlete made 8 Pro Bowls. He led the NFL in yards pre-attempt from 2008 through 2010. The year he led the league in passing yards, 4,710. Clue 3. The day the Giants drafted the mystery athlete in 2004, they traded him to the Chargers. Who is this mystery athlete? Well, I'm going to give you a couple minutes to get to see if you know who that athlete is, because what we're going to do now is go to Trading Places. Just because it doesn't work out at your first school doesn't mean your college career is over. Sometimes transferring schools and starting anew can lead to big-time results. These three players can say that. Baker Mayfield from Oklahoma, despite winning Big 12 Freshman Offensive Player of the Year in his first season at Texas Tech, Mayfield decided that Oklahoma would be a better fit. It was the right decision. In 3 seasons in Norman, Mayfield threw for 12,292 yards and 119 touchdowns and won the 2017 Heisman Trophy. Russell Wilson, Wisconsin. After 3 productive seasons at North Carolina State, Wilson played out his final year of eligibility at Wisconsin. It was there that he established himself as a future NFL star. The 2011 Big Ten Quarterback of the Year led the Badgers to the conference title and threw for 33 touchdowns and just 4 interceptions. Scott Frost, Nebraska. Frost spent 2 uninspiring seasons at Stanford before deciding to transfer home to Nebraska, where he became a legend. Over 2 years, he went 24-2, including leading the Huskers to a perfect record and the 1997 national title. At 44 years old, he's now back in Lincoln, this time as head coach. All right. It's time to go back to that mystery. Do you have the answer for the mystery athlete? Give you the clues one more time. Clue number 1. Through week 7 of the 2019 NFL season, the mystery athlete was 6th on the league's all-time passing yards list. Clue 2. Leading up to this season, the mystery athlete made 8 Pro Bowls. He led the NFL in yards per attempt from 2008 through 2010. The year he led the league in passing yards, 4,710. Clue number 3. The day the Giants drafted the mystery athlete in 2004, they traded him to the Chargers. Who is the mystery athlete? It is Philip Rivers, quarterback, Los Angeles Chargers. If you knew the answer, congratulations. If you didn't, like me, then we got a little bit of knowledge today. Now it's time to poster face off. Saquon Barkley versus Mark Stone. Barkley is New York Giants running back and Stone is Vegas Golden Knights right wing. Let's start the challenge of the face-off. Barkley is 22, Stone is 27. Their height and weight, Barkley is 5'11", 233 pounds. Stone is 6'4", 219 pounds. Their hometown, Barkley is from Coldplay, Pennsylvania. Stone is from Winnipeg, Manitoba. Nicknames, Say-Say. Barkley's parents gave him this nickname as a baby. He's also sometimes called Saquads, a moniker given to him by former teammate Odell Beckham Jr. in honor of Barkley's muscular quads. Last year, Vegas fans tried to come up with a nickname for him, but so far those efforts have proven fruitless. So right now, Mark Stone doesn't have a nickname. Good guy. Barkley has raised money for research into a genetic disorder called 22q11.2 deletion syndrome, which occurs when a person is missing part of the 22nd chromosome. His niece, Amara, suffers from it. While with the Ottawa Senators, Stone helped raise money for Freedom Dog Rescue, a local charity that fosters and adopts dogs. Roomies. At Penn State, Barkley shared a room with Grant Haley, a cornerback. The two are now teammates. Last season, Stone invited Sens rookie Brad Tkachuk to stay in his Ottawa home. Family ties. Barkley's uncle, Iran, was a three-time WBC middleweight boxing champion. Stone's brother, Michael, is a defensive man for the Calgary Flames. Late bloomer, Barkley didn't make varsity until his junior year of high school. Despite a prolific junior career, Stone was selected in the sixth round of the 2010 draft because he was thought to be a poor skater. Frenemy, Eagles running back Miles Sanders, he was Barkley's backup at Penn State. Now the two are NFC East rivals. Teammate Max Pizzaretti, the two had been an opposite sides of a fierce rivalry. Pizzaretti with the Canadians and Stone with the Senators. Now they enjoy celebrating goals together. From a poster face-off to girl power, chess queen. Owning the board with Jennifer Yu, 2019 U.S. Women's Chess Champion. Jennifer Yu was only 10 years old when she realized she was good at chess. Like really good. She had already been playing for a few years already, having discovered the sport after school program while in first grade and competed in tournaments since she was a little girl. She had taken private lessons, she remembered around 7, and despite taking private lessons, she wasn't all that good. That changed during a trip to Slovenia for the World Youth Championship. Sitting there among the globe's best players in her age group, she finally felt she belonged. For someone who didn't think she was very good, she ended up finishing 11th. That started a rise to the top. Checkmate, outplay your friends. In 2014, at age 12, she won her division at the World Youth Championship in Durban, South Africa, becoming the first American female to do so in 27 years. Last April, the 17-year-old from Ashburn, Virginia, became the first teen to win the U.S. national tournament in 19 years. I didn't really expect that to ever happen in my lifetime, she says. This was my fifth year playing in the tournament, and I've never done this well. It was very shocking to me. Afterward, I really wanted to improve more. One of the things that drew Jennifer to chess is that she loves solving the numerous puzzles that come up during a match. That's my favorite part, she says. When I was little, that's how I practiced. I just kept doing it. She also likes the fact that after one game ends, there's a clean slate for the next one. It's cool that no matter how badly you're doing, the next game starts over. It's just another chance. Up next for Jennifer, more tournaments, including the Women's World Cup of Chess in 2020, practicing her craft for at least an hour a day, and balancing schoolwork at Stonebridge High School with college applications and piano lessons. But the soft-spoken Jennifer has quite a line to put on her resume. She's currently ranked the 13th best female player under 18 in the world. There's a lot of really beautiful parts in chess, she says. There isn't anything else like it. Congratulations, Jennifer. And Jennifer gives us a little bit of some knowledge about chess and how to play. Got a match coming up? Don't sweat. Jennifer breaks down a few things to remember that will give you a leg up. Don't rely heavily on gimmicks. It's tempting to learn two or four move checkmates. That may seem like an easy way to win, but as Jennifer says, they only work a few times. It's a trap when you first learn to play, she says. Usually the opponent falls for it the first time, but never falls for it again. Practice your moves online. Jennifer recommends chess puzzles, which gives you snapshots of various board positions and challenge you to find the best move or series of moves. You can find them online or in workbooks. Check yourself. Even if you have what you think it is, an obvious play, before every move, take a look at the board, Jennifer says. Recognize the possible checks, captures, and threats. That helps you focus on the end game, winning. This next article is from Sports Illustrated itself. The trouble with tanking. Frustrated with a string of middling seasons, the Miami Dolphins have gutted their roster, settling for historically bad football in the present with the hope of potentially great football in the future. The goal? To hoard precious draft picks. The question, can a teardown of this magnitude pay off in the NFL? During one of the historically bad losses in what is one pace to be a historically bad season, there was some mercy in the fact that the Dolphins' home crowd started streaming out of the stadium after a fourth quarter pick six. That meant there was a smaller audience for the second one, which came four plays later. Like so many Sunday afternoon moments for the 2019 Miami Dolphins, this one played out like a blooper reel. On the Patriots' second defensive touchdown of their Week 2 visit to Miami, running back Kalen Ballage, wide open after running a simple route into the flat, handled Ryan Fitzpatrick's pass like a hot potato. The football bounced off his left hand, his left knee, his right hand, and straight into the grasp of linebacker Jamie Collins, who returned it for a touchdown to stretch the lead to 37-0. Ballage's head between his knees was consoled by teammates. His despair couldn't last long. He needed to get back on the field for the ensuing kickoff. By the end of the afternoon, the Patriots' pummeling at the CBS broadcasters dubbed it stood at 43-0. By the time Ballage had showered and changed about an hour or so later, the frustration hadn't abated. Losing, Ballage said, it stinks. Elsewhere in the locker room, center Daniel Kilgore, a team captain and nine-year veteran who emphasized the need to remain positive, acknowledged this is a difficult time to be a Miami Dolphin. They're the latest test case in a strategy that has been sweeping pro sports. We've seen it from baseball teams, the Astros and the Cubs in the last decade, NBA franchises, the pre-LeBron Cavaliers and the process-sex 76ers, and in football, the analytics-driven Browns. All, including the Dolphins, have refused to utter the T word, tanking, but there's no denying that the Dolphins are purposefully not constructed to win. Stephen Ross, frustrated with entrenched mediocrity during his decade of ownership, decided after consecutive losing seasons that the team needed a radical change of course. Since August 31st, it traded away three starters, two of them recent first-round picks, left tackle Laremy Tunsil of Houston, and defensive back Minka Fitzpatrick to Pittsburgh, and the other a trade acquisition who earned a lucrative extension, wide out Kenny Steeles to Houston with Tunsil. Miami has a cash payroll that's $26.2 million less than the next lowest teams. The Cubs and the Astros emerged on the other side with a championship. While the Sixers have not advanced past the conference semifinal stage, they reached two seasons before their teardown began. They are now among the five heaviest favorites to win the 2020 NBA title. But in the NFL, there's no definitive example that this strategy works, at least not yet. The Browns' 1-31 stretch helped build what some see as a championship-caliber core, anchored by number one overall draft picks Baker Mayfield and Myles Garrett. But four games into the 2019 season, they sat at 2-2. The only guarantee for the Dolphins is that this season will be painful. After that, it's a binary path. They will either become analytical darlings who prove the concept of tanking in the NFL, or as some around the league believe, they will become a cautionary tale. Brian Flores was officially hired as the Dolphins' new head coach just hours after calling the defensive players in the Super Bowl, his fourth championship as a member of the Patriots. He held a variety of roles in his 15 years with the organization, scouting as assistant position coach, de facto defensive coordinator. But the one consistent since he was first hired in 2004 was the team's success. This season has been and will be unlike anything he has experienced. Flores and GM Chris Greer was resetting their books, which carry a league high $55 million in dead cap hits from players they cut or traded. Through trades, they bolstered their future draft assets to include three first-round and two second-round picks in 2020, plus two first-rounders and two second-rounders in 21. Still, there's evidence to suggest that this rebuild has been even more extreme than Miami originally planned. Greer said in a mid-September press conference that the Dolphins were looking to trade Tunsil until the Texans presented an offer that even Tunsil agreed they couldn't refuse. They didn't foresee a frustrated Minkah Fitzpatrick forcing his way out of town. Around the league, the Dolphins approach his illicit mixed reviews, the most common being skepticism. There are paths out of mediocrity without embarking on a roster overall, as two recent Super Bowl teams have done. The Rams went 4-12 before improving seven wins in Coach Sean McVay's first season and making the Super Bowl in its second, while the Eagles rose from back-to-back losing seasons to Super Bowl champions. If the Dolphins are following the lead of the Browns, who follow the lead of success stories from Major League Baseball, where Cleveland's chief strategy officer Paul DePodesta said two decades as scout, then executive, that raises the question of whether tanking strategies in other sports translate to NFL. That was the big oversight that the Browns made when they went with their strategy, says Joe Thompson. The Browns' former left tackle, who retired after the winless 2007 season. I don't think you can understand the true pain and the human toll that losing in the NFL has on your organization, your fans, and your players and coaches, because there's only 16 games and there's 16 violent games. Whereas in baseball, if you lose, oh well, you play tomorrow night. After the Patriots game, when the defense was on the field for more than 36 minutes, linebacker Jerome Baker explained, "Days like this, you've got to start recovering now." During the 1-31 stretch in Cleveland, Thomas noticed how the extra minutes the defense was on the field occurred to a couple extra games over the course of the year. Physically, it is so much harder if you're a linebacker playing in a game that is a blowout in the other team's favor, says Thomas, because you just have a battering ram coming because you have just a battering ram coming at you 30 times in the second half. In 2016, Akira Matamura, an associate professor of economics at Stonehill College in Massachusetts, published an article in the Journal of Sports Economics studying the success of tanking in the NBA over an 18-year period. He was surprised at the results of the statistical analysis, which showed that having more and higher draft picks did not correlate with a team's improvement over a four-year period. What did help, he found, was having better pickers. Just getting more picks and accumulating higher pickers by being bad doesn't seem to help by itself as a strategy unless you make good use of those picks, says Matamora. It's not a strategy that's necessarily superior to making smart trades, doing player development well, and getting good free agents. The 2019 NBA champion Toronto Raptors were built around a core of savvy free agents and a trade acquisitions. Only one of their playoff rotation players, Pascal Siakam, was a Raptors first-round pick. The dominant franchise of the 2010s, the Golden State Warriors, was built without ever selecting in the top five of the NBA draft. After the Dolphins traded Tunsil and Steals, Flores was the lone member of the organization put in front of the media to explain the move. 2 weeks later, when they moved Minka Fitzpatrick, the team sent out Greer, perhaps a recognition of the fact that the person trying to motivate the locker room shouldn't be the one explaining the teardown. At the press conference, Greer described himself in lockstep with Flores. When Ross set the team on this path, he gave Greer control of the football operations and also changed the organization's power structure, with Flores reporting to Greer instead of the owner. Back in the locker room, Baker, still recovering from the game in his locker stall, said they need to stay together. This physically taxing game leaves them no choice. All I know is I get paid to do a job, he says. Whoever is out there with me, I expect the same. If somebody else is worrying about the future, I have to focus on now. Hopefully, I am there in the future. And now it's time for a little mystery to solve. Buzz Beamer and the case of the broken window. One Saturday, Whitney was sitting at home reading when her phone buzzed with a text from Buzz, help, followed by the sweaty smiley face emoji. That could only mean one thing. He needed her assistance talking his way out of a grounding. Buzz is always getting into trouble. That means he sometimes gets blamed for things he didn't do. When that happens, he needs the help of Whitney, his smartest pal. When Whitney got to the Beamer's house, Buzz was sitting on a chair with his head hanging low. Next to him, on the carpet, were shards of glass. Buzz's mom, obviously upset, was holding a baseball. Whitney, I didn't do it, Buzz pleaded. Buzz, you're not talking your way out of this one, interjected his mom. I told you all week to stop throwing balls around in the house, and now you're broken the window. What happened? Asked Whitney. I was upstairs and heard a crash, began Mrs. Beamer. I came into this room to see Buzz standing there next to all that broken glass. I didn't do it, Buzz repeated. Some other kids were playing baseball in the street outside of their house. One of them hit the ball through our window, and then he ran away. I promise you he did. Well, after long, plausible enough, it's a plausible excuse, I guess, Whitney said to Miss Beamer. After I called, one very important detail. This ball came down the stairs. I found it a yard. It is a buckhead's mouth in the way of someone hit it into our house. But why was it outside with the dog? Buckhead was just inside with me, Buzz answered desperately. He must have grabbed the ball as soon as it landed and ran out through the doggy door. You really expect me to believe that story? Asked his mom. I agree. His story sounds far-fetched, says Whitney, but I also think he's telling the truth. Well, it's now time for an end zone. What's the call? And we have another sports trivia question. Mystery athlete. First, the trivia challenge. Rafael Nadal of Spain won the U.S. Open in September for his 19th Grand Slam tournament victory. He's now one win away from tying the all-time men's singles mark. Who holds the record? A. Pete Sampras. B. Roger Federer. C. Novak Djokovic. The answer is Roger Federer. Our mystery athlete. Clue number one. The mystery athlete played collegiate soccer at the University of Portland along with her twin sister, Rachel. Clue number two. The mystery athlete won Olympic gold in 2012, the year before she joined Seattle Reign FC. Clue number three. In 2019, she became the first woman to start three straight World Cup finals, winning the Golden Ball as the top player and the Golden Boot as the high scorer, 6 goals and 3 assists in 428 minutes. Who is the mystery athlete? We'll have the answer after this. Taking a look at our sports rundown of our athletes. Juan Soto, left fielder, Nationals, height 6'1", weight 185 pounds, born October 25th, 1998, in Santo Domingo, Dominican Republic. Soto hit a solo home run and a two-run double to help the Nationals beat the Astros 5-4 in Game 1 of the 2019 World Series, his team's first appearance in the Fall Classic. In his postseason debut against the Brewers in the NL Wild Card game, Soto hit a bases-clearing single with two outs in the bottom of the eighth inning to give the Nats a 4-3 win. He was second in the 2018 NL Rookie of the Year voting after batting .292 with 22 homers and 70 RBIs. Artemi Manarin. Manarin, 5'11", weight 170 pounds, born October 30th, 1991, in Korkinko, Russia. Panamarin, who signed with the Rangers as a free agent over the summer, began his career in New York with 4 goals and 2 assists. Through 7 games, he led the Blue Jackets in points in each of the last 2 seasons and helped them to playoffs twice and to their postseason series win 2009, that is. After the Blackhawks signed Panarin as a free agent in May 2015, he won the following season Calder Trophy as the NHL's top rookie. Now, we're back to the athlete. Mystery athlete, do you know the answer? Give you the clue once again. The mystery athlete played collegiate soccer at the University of Portland along with her twin sister, Rachel. The mystery athlete won Olympic gold in 2012, the year before she joined Seattle Reign FC. And in 2019, she became the first woman to start the three straight World Cup final, winning the Golden Ball as the top player and the Golden Boot as the high scorer. 6 goals and 3 assists in 428 minutes. Who is it? Hi, Megan Rapinoe. Megan Rapinoe, the forward for the USWNT and Reign FC. Well, we've run out of time for today's episodes of Sports Illustrated for Kids. B, we hope you've enjoyed the conversation and the show. I'm Shadate Hargett-Hill, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service.